Hi, my name is Retainer Nyamuda, and welcome back to In My 20s. In My 20s. While you're here, please don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. I want to wish everybody out there listening a happy Valentine's Day. Today is a very historic episode for the In My 20s podcast as we interview a couple for the first time. So welcoming themselves onto the In My 20s podcast and into the In My 20s family, here they are.
Hi, I'm Tenny Lee Krauser.
Hi, I'm Michael Krauser.
I'm a massive coffee lover. Everything coffee is me. A family person, love being around family.
I'm a dreamer. I've been in the events industry for basically all my life.
In the PR and events industry, and that's definitely something I'm extremely passionate about.
Fell into sales. And I love everything to do with music, so I produce a lot, DJ, and that's me.
Now, on every episode of the In My 20s podcast, my guests always come through with these incredible mind moments or gem moments, and this is just one of them.
I think she got into a point where she was ready to sort of like move on.
I was okay if it didn't happen because I spent the 4 months like trying to actually force it to happen again and it wasn't.
Because it's kind of weird because the previous breakup, she would be the first person to sort of initiate contact again. And the last breakup for me, I was the one kind of like really taking stock of everything and being like, flip, I can't live without her.
The In My 20s podcast is split up into three sections. In the first section, we get to hear a little bit more about Tony and Michael's career journey. In the second section, we dive into today's topic, which is all about love and marriage. And finally, rounding up all three sections is a conversation on the all-consuming 20s journey. Are you ready for love? Let's get straight into it. Tony, if you can tell me a little bit about your background. So family-wise, where did you grow up?
Yeah. So I've always actually been a Cape Town girl. I haven't lived anywhere else. So born in Cape Town, a small family of four with a younger brother, mom and dad, huge family person. So constantly always with the family.
And Mike?
Yeah. Same as Tony, born and bred in Cape Town. Very small family as well, brother and sister. Just sort of a background on my upbringing. It was mainly with my grandparents and stuff. So that was quite a big thing for me, just having that grandparents like root in my life. And so, yeah, that's my sort of take on it from, my background.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so tell me a little bit about your career history. Yeah.
So I actually did a year of public relations and then I actually stopped because I was like, I don't think this is for me. I do not enjoy it. And then I went straight into industry, intern. And kind of 7 years later, I'm still in it. So I was like, oh, okay, I do enjoy it and I love it. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where it started. But a lot of like groundwork of working, lots of internships, working my way up, sacrificing a lot. So in terms of and a lot of side things as well, trying to just get to where I am. So career-wise from the PR side, that's how I started. Mm-hmm. Bit of background, yeah.
And for you, Mike, what is your career history? What did you study? Where did you study? And what are you currently doing?
So mine's a bit different. I matriculated in 2008, never studied a thing. And since then, I've basically been sort of in and out of jobs, like, you know, sort of gaining experience where I can kind of thing. And the biggest thing for me was just learning how to leverage relationships and just how to build that, because ultimately that is where I got to be where I am today. Mm-hmm. And just sort of, you know, figuring out what I actually want to do with my life. And the biggest thing, like I said earlier, was falling into sales all the time. So those were kind of the jobs that I kept falling into. Like my first job was like a sales job. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't do sales, like this sucks. And eventually it grew into something that I was actually remotely passionate about. And now I'm working for an event production company. Mm-hmm. And I sort of deal with the business side of that. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of still connected to music in a sense. And that still allows me to sort of work on my music, DJ, and then we have the ice cream business on the side as well. So that's basically what I'm doing now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so what's very interesting, even though you are both in similar but different industries, you actually have a joint business together.
Yes.
So
yes.
Tell me a bit about this joint business. What is it? How did it start? Whose idea was it?
I'll go first, looking online one day and I was just like, oh, let's see what's for sale. Like, let's just buy a business. And I came across this ice cream business and I sent it to him and he was like, love, not ice cream. Like, no, not ice cream. And then I was like, no, let's just go check it out and go visit and see what it's about. And we kind of did that whole process. And literally a year later, we're still going, still doing it. And yeah, it's been insane. You can explain a bit more about what it actually is. Yeah.
Yeah. So the business is basically, it's an ice cream business, like Tony said. But the unique thing is that we use liquid nitrogen to actually make the ice cream. So it's an experience for people. As opposed to if you go to an event and you ask for chocolate, you like sort of dish it out of the bowl and it's there. But with our business, it's basically the ice cream gets made in front of you. So it takes about 60 seconds for the actual nitrogen to go into the bowl and then turns to ice cream.
What is the name of the business?
Into Ice Cream Lab.
Into Ice Cream Lab.
Yeah. So the nitrogen sign into.
And what are your hopes and dreams for the business, for the company? Where do you guys see it going?
Definitely opening up a store. Mm-hmm. That has been a big one. We've had a lot of questions about it. Mm-hmm. But it would just be finding the right concept and location. Yeah, definitely that.
Yeah, same. Mm-hmm. Definitely a store to sort of establish the brand.
Okay.
And, you know, future thing, maybe it could be something we could hand over to our kids one day. It's like, you know, want some work experience, take over the business.
I want to kind of go, you guys have been married for 3 years now.
Yeah.
You're married for 3 years. I kind of want to go to the point where you guys had met.
Okay.
So where were you in your lives
when
you had met each other?
Cool.
So we'll start. I'll start with Mike. Okay. Mike, where were you in life when you had met Tony?
I was a very confused guy. Just kind of like going with the flow kind of thing. I wasn't looking for anything, if I could say. I was just kind of, you know, hanging out with the boys, going to gym, you know, DJing, and it wasn't like anything really. Yeah, that was where I was at. Not even career focused. I was just chilled.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. And what were you doing? Were you still in the sales section?
Yeah, at that time, I think I was working for Vodacom. Mm-hmm. So I was doing cell phone sales.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. How old were you around there?
I must have been probably about 19, 18.
18? Yeah.
Okay. Oh, 1918. Because you guys have been together forever.
Forever.
Okay, so 1918, still in your teens, living your best life.
Basically.
Yeah. I've still got,
paying rent.
living your best possible life. Okay. Yeah. We've got the picture. And Tony, for you, where were you in life at that time?
I was actually a little 16-year-old in high school. Mm-hmm. Obviously, just completely silly, going with life, high school, not worried about anything else. Just like, oh my gosh, there's this cute guy. That's where I was at, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. But little 16-year-old, I have no idea what I was doing.
And so now the meeting point happens. So you're both living your best lives, clearly.
Yeah.
You're both, you know, doing things independently. Meeting point.
Yeah.
How did that happen? How did you meet?
Well, actually, in a nutshell, Facebook.
Facebook?
Facebook.
Facebook. This is interesting. And a family member.
A family friend.
Okay.
I actually went to a 16-year-old birthday party, and I spoke to his cousin, who was a mutual friend, and I was like, I need a date for this party. I mean, at 16 years old. Mm. And she's like, I have someone for you. And then we met.
It's kind of weird for me, because the first person I met at the party was her ex at the time. And he's like, hey, what's up? And I'm like, hey, what's up? He's like, you know, Tony's my ex, right? And I'm like, cool, thanks.
I just met this girl.
Oh my God.
I just met it like 24 hours ago, but thanks.
Who made the first move?
I mean, I don't think there was ever a move made for like the first year. Because
I made the move because I was like, I free rugby tickets. Do you not want to come with?
That's a move.
That's a solid move.
That could be a move for me. In my mind, it wasn't a move for me. It was just like
free rugby tickets.
Yeah, free rugby tickets and chilling.
Okay. And then throughout the years, the relationship just built and developed.
Yeah.
And
It's the beginning of a really good like friendship for me. Like, I've never had any friendship with females.
Okay.
So to have that with Tony was quite an awesome thing.
Okay. Prior to getting married.
Yeah.
So how long did you date for before you got married?
7-8 years.
7-8 years.
Yeah.
No, okay. Yeah. 5-6-7.
Worst breakup that you guys had prior to getting married?
Sure. It was probably our last one. It was a few months.
Yeah, it's probably like 3 months.
Yeah.
That was my
most challenging, because we were already like quite far in our relationship. So it was either like a, this is going to marriage, or this is like a, walk away and find a whole new life kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it was actually so crucial for us because I had my entire life from 16 to my younger 20s, I was consumed by Michael.
Mm.
And I didn't know what life was without Michael.
Mm.
So who am I? What am I doing? And that breakup actually just completely helped me in a sense of finding my identity. Who am I? Getting to a place of being okay without him. Yeah. Mm. So that was very important for me in that breakup season. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that was probably one of the reasons why we did break up before that massive one. It's just kind of like figuring out who we were outside of the relationship.
Yeah.
Because of dating each other so young, you kind of cut yourself off from a lot of things and because of the insecurity in a sense.
Yeah.
So if we had had everything figured out before that, we would have been chilled. But because we were so intense with each other, we kind of like hindered a lot of things, life experience. And so the breakup kind of gave us the chance to sort of experience life on your own kind of thing. Like, and it wasn't in a sense of like us seeing other people because that never happened. But I think it's just from the sense of like knowing who you are outside of your relationship because that's what it was like. When you do eventually find the person that you want to be with, it's two whole people, you know, in a relationship or being married. It's not a half and a half making one.
What was the reason you wanted to get back together with each other?
Yeah, she kind of was, I think she got into a point where she was ready to sort of like move on.
I was okay if it didn't happen because I spent the 4 months like trying to actually force it to happen again and it wasn't.
Because it's it kind of weird because the previous breakup, she would be the first person to sort of initiate contact again.
Wow.
And the last breakup for me, I was the one kind of like really taking stock of everything and being like, flip, I can't live without Tony kind of thing.
Yeah.
And what changed for you? To say finally, like, I'm actually going to leave, I'm going to let this one go. If it's not meant to be, it's not meant to be. Because again, you'd been together for such a long time.
Such a long time. I think it took me such a long, I literally spent that whole 3 or 4 months trying to figure out what I can change in myself to try and get Michael back. So it was like a whole process of like, this is actually exhausting.
Mm.
So I'd gotten to a point of, this is tiring. I cannot actually do this. He either wants to come back or let's just let it go. And I got into such a good space probably like just a month before.
Mm.
And I was just like, I'm actually okay. It's fine.
Yeah.
Which is tough. It wasn't an easy road. Mm. But I got in there and then he came knocking again.
All right. So let's dive into marriage life. Tell me about the biggest adjustments you guys had to make.
Yeah.
Once you both were like, I do.
Probably the biggest thing was just sort of figuring out just the logistics around it kind of thing. Like, you know, what you do, what I do kind of thing. And just sort of living together and sharing that space with someone. Because your whole life, you kind of like, you know, kind of looking after yourself. You got your own room, looking after yourself, doing your own washing kind of thing. And now it's, you know, it's someone else you got to consider. So don't shower too long, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Are you the more stricter one or more type A of the two?
Yeah, but when it comes to just sort of order and cleaning, maybe.
The household,
just keeping things in like in general order.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, ideally for me, I always love the concept of making sure that the house is clean. So if someone does pop in, you're not afraid to like turn them away, like, no, you can't come in, the house is a mess kind of thing.
Yes, yeah.
And but like, you love cleaning, so that's why.
Yeah, I mean, I find it slightly therapeutic, maybe.
So many people say that, I don't understand that.
I never understand that.
I suppose
like, no.
It's the whole thing of, like, taking something that's a mess and then, you know, making sure it looks good.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And for Tony, for you?
For me, to be honest, I didn't have, like, a massive, like, oh my gosh, this is crazy, this adjustment. And I think for me, going into marriage, we often had like married couples tell us like, oh, the first year of your marriage is going to be the worst. And I kind of went in with that perception and then it wasn't like that for me. And I was like, okay, maybe there's something wrong because there's nothing wrong, if you know what I mean. Yeah. So that's one thing I learned, especially if like telling advice for people, is that like, don't listen to other advice in terms of how it's going to be because everyone's marriage is different. And for me, going into our first year, it was our best year. Only maybe into the second year, I started like, oh my gosh, like, you know, this is annoying.
Did you guys do any premarital therapy? Why would you guys advise that to people?
Yeah, marriage prep really helped us discuss like what our strengths and weaknesses are and kind of figuring out how we could sort of work at that and going to marriage knowing what our expectations are. Like,
yeah.
This is what I want. I want date night every second week or every week, and this is what I expect,
yeah.
You know, sort of our home life to look like. No yeah. TV during dinner, that kind of thing.
Those
yeah.
4 weeks of marriage prep don't, like, yes, it helps, but...
But it just gets the conversation started, if I could say.
Yeah, those things don't really actually sometimes... It's a work in progress.
No, obviously. Yeah.
yeah.
What is the thing you love most about Toni?
The biggest thing is that it's the way she loves not just me, but others as well. It's so selfless. Mm. Yeah. Amongst everything else, that's like my top thing.
Okay. And what is the thing that you dislike the most?
The chewing. She chews very loud.
I do chew very loud.
Okay.
Because I can't get all the air in at once. Okay. So it's like a...
And Toni, what is the thing you love the most about Mike?
I think what I love most is that Michael's honestly such a positive person. If I come to him and say, oh my gosh, this happened, it's so negative, and then he'll honestly just see the positive in everything. Like, literally everything is a positive.
Mm.
Definitely something I love about you.
And the thing that you dislike the most?
Because he loves cleaning so much, at 11:30 at night, Michael just feels it's clean time now.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes full on for like an hour or two. So it's one thing I've just been like, hour, I'm stepping out before it turns into a fight.
You guys are married in your 20s.
Yeah.
And so how would you describe your 20s journey with everything that has happened in your 20s? Yeah. I'll start with Mike.
I would say it's been a whirlwind. Mm. Like I feel like it's going super fast.
Mm.
And there's just so much happening. I'm learning a lot. And the biggest thing for me is probably just not being so hard on myself for changing as a person and vice versa for Toni. Because, you know, you always have that excuse of like, oh, you've changed.
Mm.
And that's not a bad thing. If your partner's changing, it means they're growing, mm. which is a good thing. And so that's like the biggest thing in our 20s. It's like the person that you're changing into now is who you're going to be, you know, when you're much older, like from a foundation perspective.
Mm.
And so that's what 20s have been like. It's been busy and just so learning so much.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for you?
For me, it's been wild. In a sense of, for me personally, my 20s were like, oh my gosh, I'm a young woman. Now I need to find the role of being a wife. Now I need to still remember that I'm a daughter. So how do I fit that all in? And like, oh, I actually have a career, or these things I want to do. So for me, it's been wild and just trying to find balance between everything, but also just not putting pressure on myself that you actually can't do all of it. And that's okay. That's been a big thing for me in my 20s, is that you can't be perfect at it all. Like, it's okay.
Mm.
My early 20s, I was like, I'm actually failing because I'm not actually keeping up with all these new things happening in my life. And now in the later part, I'm just like, it's fine. Like, it's okay. Yeah. So mine's been wild in a sense of like everything happening.
And because you guys got married in your 20s, because I know people who are single want to be married, and people who are married, I've heard, sometimes want to be single. But do you feel that you have missed anything or gained more from being married in your 20s?
Definitely not missed anything.
Yeah. For sure.
It's like, if you feel like you need to be doing stuff, then don't get married.
Mm.
It's as simple as that. And just try and figure out what you want to be doing before you make that massive decision.
Yeah.
But for us, we knew it, and that's what we wanted to do. And we don't feel like we're missing out on anything from being single, if I could say.
Yeah. But I think it just comes down to being on the same page.
Yeah.
Because we were like, I think marriage has this massive perception of being boring. And getting married in our young 20s. Yeah. Getting married in our young 20s, we were just like, well, we're actually going to throw it all out the window completely. Like, you know, we don't have to go buy a house immediately, and we don't have to do all these things. We're still in our young 20s. So actually, we're going to just go wild, but we're going to do it together. So I think definitely gained more than missed, for sure.
You can define what you want your marriage to be in terms of goals and stuff. So it doesn't have to fall this checklist of society.
Yeah.
Of like, I have kids by that age, buy this house by that age, or do this by that age. The minute you take that pressure off it, you can actually have fun in marriage.
Not that there's anything wrong with it.
There's nothing wrong with it, yeah.
Because it's amazing if you
It's amazing if you can do that, yeah. But
quarter life crisis.
Yeah.
So you got married at 25.
Yeah.
You were a little bit shy of 25 by 2 years. But even being still in your 20s, have you either experienced the quarter life crisis?
Yeah.
And how did that affect your life?
I went through one, not you. Yeah. Because I was 25 last year, it actually full on hit last year. And I think it was just what I've said before. I was just so overwhelmed with everything that I needed to do that I actually went through a massive year of major anxiety and slight depression just because I feel like I wasn't performing or doing things to the best of my capabilities. I was just like, oh, I don't spend enough time with my family. I'm not doing this at work. I'm actually not making time for the gym. Like silly things that just completely overwhelmed me with my life. So I definitely had the quarter life crisis and it went on for a full year and a half. Yeah. And then, yeah, finally just came out in terms of it's okay if you can't get to everything. Mm. And I think it's an ongoing journey of that. Yeah.
And how did you support Tony while she was going through the most? Because it's not like she's going through the most, she's going home.
Yeah.
It's she's going through the most, this is home.
The biggest thing is just sort of to try and understand to the best of your ability what she's going through and support her to the best of my ability. And the biggest thing is not to alienate yourselves from anybody. Like, family is important. And the biggest thing is I'm fortunate enough to be super close with her family. So myself and her mom chat quite often on WhatsApp. So for me, it was just like, hey, like, we really need to just chat about this and see how we can really help Tony. And and since the moment we introduced her family into the whole thing and just encouraged her to sort of open up, you know, with her family and actually talk about it herself, it really helped. And so, yeah, it was just about doing the journey together as a family.
And how do you guys feel right now about being in your 20s, you know, having been through this journey together, having met before you were both even 20, going through the high highs and the low lows and, you know, personal stuff. How are you guys feeling now? Like, what space are you in?
I'm ready for the babies.
Yeah, family.
That was just a light one, but you can talk.
Yeah, and I feel like we're in a really good space in terms of, like, we have, wouldn't say we have it figured out, but we have a direction figured out in terms of where we want our family to go, kind of thing. And just career-wise, we feel like things are settling down, kind of like really knowing where we need to go. So at night, when we have extra time and during the day, we're very intentional about how we use our time and how we use it together. And I feel like that's in the first, I would say, 2 to 5 years, you're kind of figuring that out, just like where you want your family to go. And then just sort of building on that. And I feel like that's in like the phase that we're in now.
What advice do you have for people? I know you already gave advice to people who are in their 20s and considering marriage. And but I think just in life in general.
Yeah.
Two things. Don't overthink it and don't be hard on yourself. Just allow yourself to make mistakes because that's the time when you can learn the most. Just if there's any expectation on your life with like age goals, try and drop that if you can, because you don't want to put unnecessary pressure on yourself to achieve something by a certain age.
Yeah, I was going to say that there's no timeline, because often in our 20s, we feel like we need to have all these things figured out before we turn 29.
Or even 30. I need to be a millionaire before I'm 30.
Yeah, and sometimes it's just not realistic, and then you actually end up being so sad, or, you know, it's not happening. So there's no timeline. Do what you want to. But also just remember to have fun. I know in a bit of my 20s, I got so caught up in building a career that I would come home, I was tired. Like, you wouldn't actually have your normal fun. Like, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's been a big thing for me, is just finding moments to do that. And, like, while you're building a career, it's also just not the only thing for you. Yeah.
Thank you so, so, so much, Tony and Michael, for coming on to today's In My 20s podcast episode, for a very historic episode. Thank you for sharing so much wisdom and insight into what it's like to be married in your 20s. To everybody else, I hope you enjoyed the episode just as much as I did, and we will catch you same time, same place, right here on In My 20s.